Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 82 of the Brunch and Judge. There's nothing that happens at 82.
No, nothing.
Well,
Nothing
welcome back
special.
for another week of fun and frivolity here at the French and Judge. And this week we will be discussing history. But first, I'm going to remember, hey, we're your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And we are here to guide you on this journey into parts of history you've never heard of because we don't really teach the fun stuff. We just
No,
don't.
we don't.
So
And
stick
also,
around.
gonna complain about how hot it's been.
Holy fuck. Okay.
AF, hot AF. Whatever this heat, you left one heat dome to come to like another heat dome, right? It's
Well,
like, what is this? Like, go away.
what's so funny? Here in Connecticut, we've not actually, it's not been hot. It's been the 70s. In fact, there was a day I
Jealous.
had on pants and a sweatshirt and fuzzy socks because it was raining and 69 degrees all day. It was beautiful. It's perfect.
So jealous.
And my mom is like, it's 97 degrees. I'm like, you should have moved north. What can I say?
And not only was it 97, but the heat index was like 115.
Yeah, I
Like you
live that
walk
life.
out, like you walk outside and you're just like, you can't even breathe. Yeah, for those of you who don't have like 130,000% humidity, ugh.
Yeah, we've had our windows open most of the week. Yesterday was our first hot day that we'd had in a while. That was like hot.
I
So,
came home
and when I
today
say that,
with
I mean
it.
it was like 85 degrees or something.
I can't remember what day it was. I came home from work and I walked in my house and I was like, oh no, my AC is out. Because it was like my house didn't feel any different from the outside. And I was like, oh God, it's so gross in here. And so I went and I looked and my thermostat said like 79. And I was like,
Damn.
no. So I turned it off and I think I had like, yeah, it was I had a doctor's appointment. So it might have been Monday. I've been Monday. I can't even remember. Everything blurs together. Anyway, I have a doctor's appointment. So I like turned everything off because I'm like, maybe something's frozen over. I don't know. And then I'm
Oh,
like,
right.
oh, it's been a hot minute since, and I'm terrible at this, changing filters. It's been a hot minute since I've changed a filter. So I didn't have any left. So I got on Amazon and I ordered some more filters. So that minute before I went to my doctor's appointment. So I was like, okay. So then I got back from my doctor's appointment because I had turned everything off. My house was at 85 degrees. So
Oh,
then I was like, okay, we're just gonna open a window and I'm like, I'm gonna turn it back on before I go to bed to see if like something has thawed, whatever. Anyway, I don't know. I guess something had frozen, it thawed, it was fine.
that's
It came back
amazing.
on, so it wasn't like broken. So I was like, okay, we're just gonna like, because I always keep it like 68. I was like, okay,
Damn.
we'll turn. I know, because I you know me, I'm
I
hot.
know, I know. I just, well, to me, like, 74 is probably fine.
Oh God,
But
no.
I mean, like, if I'm moving around, no, I want a cooler. But like, I'm just sitting watching TV. I don't need it. But
Oh
I'm
no.
cold. I'm cold all the time.
You are. Yeah, no. I'm like 70 at but anyway, I turned
Damn.
it back up to like 71. Because I was like, we'll see. And so I was like, okay, it seems okay. It's sitting at 71. It's not getting hotter than that. So I think anyway, so I changed the filter and then it's like I should have done that a long time ago because now I turned it back down to like 68. Now my house is like fucking freezing. And I'm like, oh, that's probably the problem. I hadn't changed the filter in a hot minute. So I just forget about it. It's just something I forget about. And I
To say,
just.
I put alarms in when I had a house because I never remembered to do that ever.
I
So
need to do that.
I had to put
Set an
alarms
alarm
on
on
my
my.
phone to remind me, like, oh shit, yeah.
Yep.
So
Same.
I
Same.
get it. So is that your judge for the week? The massive hot fire of death?
Well, that can be, but I've also found another judge, and it's not a bad judge. It's a good
Okay.
judge, and I'm super excited to tell you about it.
Go for
But I
it.
don't know how this, like, okay, yeah, it's my judge. I don't know how this, I can't remember how this came up. I can't remember if it was like popped up on some news thing. Anyway, and I clicked on it because I was like, what? I need to read this.
Okay.
This weekend, happening like yesterday and today in Scotland. There is a massive Loch Ness monster hunt going on.
I saw something about that vaguely, but I didn't read anything about it other than like a headline.
Yes. Anyway, like all these people from all over the world are coming around and they're
It's like,
using
it's
like
time to
more,
find Nessie.
yeah, it's a more modern technology. They're using thermal drones. But apparently, also, I read an update on it. It's been raining like all fucking weekend.
Hello, Scotland.
So, yeah, I know, because Scotland. So, I don't know that it's been very fruitful, but apparently, people are still having fun. And they had live streaming stuff where you could like live stream some of like drone action going on. Anyway, but I was like, that's super cool
That
that
is
they're doing
cool.
that, that they've organized this big, massive, like, hey, if you have equipment, come hunt Nessie with us. And I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome. I
I
love that so
want to hunt
much.
Nessie.
I know.
Oh,
I was like, that's
I love
amazing.
Nessie.
But apparently it's been raining and waves have been big and it's been hard with the boats and stuff. But still,
What
I
if?
was like,
What if? Okay. What if it turns out that Nessie has the ability to control the weather so that way she can maintain her hidden, like she is the queen of hide and seek. I'm just saying, like,
that's true.
huh?
That's fair. But wouldn't that be something? Yeah, like anytime it's like, oh, they're hunting, we're gonna make it
It's
rain.
like, man, like she came up one night and read the flyer and was like, damn it, fine, come on, rainstorm, let's get going.
Right. But anyway, I thought that was super cool that they were doing that. I was like, that's exciting.
That
I love
is
when
really
stuff
cool.
like I love when stuff like that happens. I don't know why. I'm just like, that's
No,
really
it's because it's just fun, happy stuff. There's
Yeah.
no, it, and that's it. It's just, let's have fun doing this thing that we all care about. Great.
Yes. And
That's
I'm
all
just
that
like,
you need.
that's
That's all you need.
amazing.
Yeah. Well,
But there
that's
was one thing I
nice.
read where they had like some kind of like sound thing and they heard some sounds and then they went to check and then the recorder thing wasn't plugged in. And I'm like, you amateurs. But anyway, but I was just like, that's really cool. And I was reading about it. I'm like, that sounds like so much fun. I wish I could
It
do that.
does. Well, one day when we live in Scotland, because I'm going to live in Scotland, it's on my bucket list, so I have to do it. We'll come ha you'll come and we'll all go and look for Nessie. And I say we all, but just me and you, because Spencer won't come with us.
Spencer won't do it.
He's not fun like we are.
Yes, no. He's like, no, you all go and have the adventures and I
I
will
mean,
stay
I
in
feel like he
game.
would want to go see Loch Ness because it's supposed to be
Oh
beautiful in and of
yeah.
itself. But maybe like the crazy hunting part, he'd be
No.
like, okay, you have fun. Choo choo.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, I saw it, but you all
Like,
can go do your
I'm
thing.
gonna hang over here with my Scottish friends. Because, fun fact, we have a friend who is in Scotland. We met him in LA. He has since moved back to Scotland. And we have a friend in Ireland. So, like,
Nice.
basically, we're set. You only need one. It's not that big. It's
Yes.
fine.
Right. It's not that big.
It's fine. It's fine. So.
Oh, that's great. But anyway, yeah, that's my judge. I thought that was really cool. And I was like, that's amazing that they do stuff like that. I'm like, yes.
That is really cool. I really, really like that. That
I know. I was like, I love that so much. But that's my judge. It was like
is excellent.
happening right now, like this past weekend, yesterday and today. It was Nessie hunt, and I'm like, ah, that's so cool. I want to do it. But
I love it. I love it.
it's like the biggest one that's happened in like 50 years or something like that. But yeah, using all this like modern technology and stuff like that. So I was like, sweet.
Very
I was
fun.
like,
That is a great
nice.
judge, Claire. Thank you. All
You're welcome.
right.
What are you judging?
So, I mean, here's just my quick put in. Ha ha, we all saw Trump's mugshot. Ha ha ha
Yes,
ha
we
ha
did.
ha. It was quite honestly the Christmas gift that keeps on giving. Because I waited up. I kept checking like all of the things because I was like, oh, he finally reported. So like the mugshot's coming, and I kept checking like my news feed like an idiot. Spencer's like, why? And I was like, because it matters to me, okay? And then when it finally came through and I could show it to Spencer, he was like, you're not wrong. That's pretty excellent. I was like, I know. Thank you, photographer gods who gave us this mugshot.
Right.
So, you know, I'm enjoying that. But what my judge is this week is I've had a very strange week that started out incredibly frustrating. And then I don't know, maybe divine intervention, maybe God does love me, maybe the universe, the planets aligned. I don't really know because it's bananas and bizarre. So As most of you know, we recently moved into a new place, and I set up my office space in the basement and hope to start recording from there so it looks more like me. I just haven't got it all set up yet.
Right.
But the laundry room is down there. When I say laundry room, I mean that very loosely. It's an area of unfinished basement that has the washer dryer and like the furnace, which is gas, because I pay that bill. So open flame. And of course my cat really wants to be there, and we don't want her to be in there. And it has like a framed out door that's bigger than a normal door and is too big for us to put a pet gate in to keep her out. So I asked if they would please put a door in for safety reasons, one for my cat, but two, future people might have a child and you
That
don't
don't need
want
to go
them to
down
be
in there.
like, you need some kind of a door here. This is ridiculous. And so they very kindly did, very grateful. They finally got to it. But up until that point, I had blocked it off with pieces of my day bed, like the frame, to keep her from being able to get in there. So I hadn't been able to build my day bed down in my space because it's huge. And so they put the door in. I started building my day bed.
So is
And
part of the
like,
basement finished and part's not? Is
so
that
it's almost entirely finished. There's just like an area that now is closed off because a door that is a little bit unfinished, but everything else is. So, it's carpeted, it's drywalled, it has lights. It's really nice. You'll see it soon.
Yay.
But so I finally was able to start putting my day bed together. And as I did so, I suddenly was like going through it's IKEA, going through the IKEA instructions. And I have lost a very important piece that goes into the back of the headboard that holds it all together. It is
Oh
this
no.
like this big long screw goes into a hole, and then another hole is a piece that the screw goes into to screw in to hold it. And I have three of the four, and I don't know where the fourth one is. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then Spencer's like, well, we could just go to IKEA. They have spare parts. They can give it to you. I'm like, fine. So I go ahead and read through the rest of it and realize I'm missing like 15 screws, which is weird because like we took this apart and put all of the pieces in a baggie. And so the piece that the screw goes into was still in the back of the headboard, so it had just fallen out somewhere in transport. So I'm like, it could be.
Anywhere.
I mean, it could have fallen out when we brought it out to move in Washington. It could have fallen out in the shipping container. Like, I mean, we scoured the house, we couldn't find it, but it's very important. But so, like, we go to IKEA, and keep in mind, I don't feel good. The allergies here are attacking me. I've just recovered from like a 3-day migraine at this point. Everything's bad, and I don't want to go to IKEA, but I want to finish my space so that it feels good. And so I go to the customer service place to spare parts, and like she looks up the things because I bring examples. And she comes back after like 10, 15 minutes, like, I'm sorry, we don't have either of these. I'm like, what the hell? What do you mean you don't have?
Oh
Like, I mean,
no.
and I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, literally, I guess I worked at a really good IKEA that was on top of their shit back in LA because I've had terrible experiences everywhere else when I need stuff. And so like I have to order them online. Like I don't have to pay for it. It's all free. Thank you very much, IKEA. I do appreciate that. But like it's 2 weeks before it gets here.
Ah,
And so
boo.
I'm like, God damn it. So I had this half built day bed downstairs. And then I'm like, well, I can do some more of it in order to kind of put it together enough to get it out of the way. At least, so it doesn't look super stupid. And as I'm going through, I've realized that the very first time I built this bed back in LA, I put the wrong screws in the wrong places. So, like, I then fixed that and I discovered, oh, this is where all those screws that were missing are. I just had the wrong screw in the wrong thing. So, I fixed it. So, I have all the screws, but I'm still missing that special little piece that holds the fucking back of the day pad on.
Oh
And I'm
no.
like, I'm so close. I just need one thing. Today, this morning, we get up. And we have no coffee because we are stupid and we suck. And on the weekends, we just are like, yeah, we should make coffee. We're almost out. And then neither one of us does it. And we wake up the next day because we do cold brew.
Yeah.
So it has to sit for like 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I said to Spencer, I swear to God, I'm just going to buy a stupid normal coffee maker for days like this because I'm so tired of not. So we go to Panera because it's super close and just grab some coffee real quick. As we're walking back to the house, I look down and in this massive courtyard of all of these like townhouse condos, I see something sparkly and silver. And I look down and it is the piece that I am missing from
Shut
my bed.
up.
I swear
Shut
to God,
up.
I look down and I was like, the fuck? This thing has been mowed over every week since we've moved here.
You've
Because
been
I
out
mean,
there for like months now.
July 1, okay?
Yeah.
And it was just sitting there, and I picked it up. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And we wash it off, and it is in perfect shape. Like, it didn't get damaged. I go downstairs, I pop it in, I do my little twisty little thingy. My day bed is all put together now.
Wow. And now you're going to have extra pieces
And I'm
just
gonna
in
have extra
case.
pieces in 2 weeks. And I'm like, holy hell.
That's
It's
amazing.
bananas.
That's
It's bananas.
amazing.
So there you have it, guys. Someone out there is paying attention to me and just wanted me to have my stupid day bed. I just wanted it.
That's wild. Oh my gosh, that's so wild.
Yes. Because
It was
again,
just
it could
laying
have been anywhere.
outside in the.
Yes. It was like pushed into the ground. I just saw like the screw top shiny part on
Oh
top.
my God.
Just sheer dumb luck that I looked down and saw it. I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh my God, it's my
That's
piece. It's my
amazing.
missing piece.
Wow. That's
So
crazy.
there you have it. That's my, I say judge, but that's my, I can't believe that actually happened this week story.
Where you go? Nice.
Oh my goodness. But
That's fantastic.
there it is. So I guess that means we should move on into our main topic of the day. This week, the Wheel of Fate has brought us history.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, guys. So don't turn away. Some of you may not be super into history, but
Right.
like, I promise you, we're telling you fun things you've not heard of. So stick around.
Right. This is not your regular history class.
All right, Claire,
Promise.
I believe you
Yes.
go first this week. What story have you brought us for history?
Okay, don't at me on some of these pronunciations because they're Russian.
Oh, same. I don't have any clue. I looked up none.
Anyway. I'm gonna be talking about a woman named Maria Vasilyevna. Okay, that's her maiden name, but her last name was, let's see if I can remember how to say this. Oktyabrskaya. Yeah.
What was her first
Anyway.
name again?
Maria.
So we're calling her Maria. Got it.
Yeah,
Maria.
yeah. But it's spelled Mariya. So
Oh.
I had to make sure it was Maria. But yeah,
That's fair. That's
it's
fair.
basically Maria. Yeah. My sources are Wikipedia, All That's Interesting, and museumhack.com.
Ooh.
So anyway, so Maria and all her long names. Oh, and her tank, the fighting girlfriend.
Oh.
That's what my story's about. Anyway. She was born August 19th, 1905, in the Ukraine, Crimean Peninsula. She was one of 10 children, which I'm just like,
That's
yikes.
a lot.
Yeah, it didn't say what number she was in that 10. It just said one of 10. So I don't
I
know.
mean, maybe they don't know.
Yeah. Her family was poor, and basically, they were serfs in 1905. And
Right.
I'm just like, that was still a thing in 1905.
You
Like,
know,
what?
really, yeah. I swear when I was doing that weird like sandwich turned to Pilates story that I was like, I do not have a good grasp of how things really were in the super beginning of the 1900s. So.
Right. Same. Yeah. For those who don't know, serfdom was a type of indentured servitude under a feudal lord. Basically, you're working off your debt, but you never actually worked it off. It was a lie.
Like, yeah, what'd you work it off? You're fine.
You worked until you died.
And then your kids do it for you because it's still not paid off, so.
Yeah, never ever paid off. But When Maria was 12, that was when the Bolsheviks revolted and came into power, got rid of Tsar Nicholas and that whole business, Anastasia, that whole. So when they that all that happened, and so she obviously became a big supporter of communism because that got her out of her serfdom.
There.
So she was freed from being a serf for family, you know, like, oh, we don't have to do this anymore. So she was able to go to school, get an education, and then when she was at school, she was employed at a cannery and then later as a telephone operator. So she was able to go get jobs and actually get paid and not have to just like work for nothing. I
Very
was like,
good, very good.
yes. In 1925, she met and married a Soviet army officer named Ilya Oktyabrskaya. Being married to an army person can be difficult for some people. I mean, even now. But Maria just embraced it and began to take an interest in a lot of military matters, including training with her husband. So
Wow, okay.
she really leaned into it. Being an army wife. So she became heavily involved with Military Wives Council and also trained to be a nurse. She learned how to use weapons, different guns. He taught her how to throw hand grenades. I'm like, ah,
I just love it's like a
the
Sunday afternoon. They've had their lunch, and
Right.
he's like, "What should we do today, hon?" And he's like, "You know what? You want to learn how to throw a hand grenade?"
Right.
Okay.
He taught her how to drive, which was a lot of women did not know how to
No,
drive
right.
back then. Yeah, so
He sounds like a good guy. He's like, "Yeah, come on. I'll show you."
right, yeah. So Maria's mentality was if her husband served his country, so did she. And they said they couldn't have children, so all their focus at that point was on serving their country. Because they had
I
nothing
mean,
else.
okay.
I mean, they didn't have kids to focus on. So it was like,
That's
okay.
fair. That's fine. We all need a
So,
hobby.
right. So in 1939, we all know what happened. Nazis and Soviets signed their non-aggression pact. But as we know, in June of 1941, Hitler broke that with his big military invasion against the Soviets, that Operation Barbarossa. I talked about that when we were, what was that? The Night
The
Witches.
Night Witches.
Yeah. And of course, this brought World War II to the Soviet Union, and they're pissed, obviously. They're like, what the fuck, man? You broke your word, you big liar. So, with the war, Ilya left to fight, and Maria left for Tomsk, Siberia for safety, which a lot of women did. Women and children
That's
left for Siberia to be safe, kind of like, I guess, like in England, where they sent all the women or sent the children like to the
to the
country.
country.
So they wouldn't be in the cities with the bombing and all that. In August 1941, Ilya was killed in action, but it took 2 years for Maria to find out.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's how long it took the news to reach her
That's
in Siberia.
horrible.
So I know, I was just like, what? Like, damn. Y'all need to be better. Like, 2 years?
Yeah, that's horrible.
That is horrible. So when Maria learned of Ilya's death, she became like super angry, hated Nazis, just like fuck Nazis,
Fair, fair.
and she became super determined to avenge her husband's death. So what did she do? She sells all her possessions and puts the money in the bank, and then she writes a letter to Joseph Stalin that says. Yeah, listen. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah. It says, my husband was killed in action defending the motherland. I want revenge on the fascist dogs for his death and for the death of Soviet people tortured by fascist barbarians. For this purpose, I've deposited all my personal savings, 50,000 rubles, to the National Bank in order to build a tank. I kindly ask to name the tank Fighting Girlfriend. And to send me to the front line as the driver of said tank. So she basically is like, here, I saved this money. I'm gonna give it to you to build me a tank and let me drive it. And basically, Stalin approved it
Oh
It was
God.
like,
You know, Stalin was garbage, but like every once in a while there's this moment of you're like, okay, all right, you know.
right. So I was like, not sure if he realized that the publicity value of having a widow going to war to avenge her husband's death, or
True.
if they just needed bodies, or if it was a little column A, a little column B.
Well, I mean, if you have
I
someone
mean,
willing to go to the front, like, why not? All right, go fight, go
right.
blow them up. I get it. You do you.
I mean, because you know how America was with like, oh, we can't let women fight
Women,
because
no.
they don't have that extra appendage between their legs, so they're lesser than.
It's true.
But so yeah, and so they made a T-34 tank, and she painted on the side of it "fighting girlfriend." And so Maria underwent a 5-month training program before being sent to the front lines. And she was a driver and mechanic, which remember the Night Witches were also pilots and mechanics, so they could like fix their own shit for the 26th Guards Tank Brigade. Immediately, obviously, started being harassed and
Right.
ridiculed by the men in her unit. Are we shocked by this?
Pigs.
Not at all. Yes. A lot of them just viewed her as a publicity stunt.
Right.
Yeah, like, you know, and a joke. Like, this is stupid. She doesn't know what she's doing. But their attitudes quickly changed.
As
After
soon as she
Maria,
starts blowing up shit.
yeah, after Maria fought in her first battle. So, Maria fought in her first mission, October 12th, 1943. She was 38 years old. So, I mean, she's probably quite a bit older than a lot of these men.
Oh, dude, she's our age and she was done with their
Yes.
shit. Now I'm here for it. All right, you
Yes,
go,
I
Maria.
know. Like, she's like
Yeah.
around our age, and she's just like, fuck all y'all.
Like, I'm fucking done with this. All
Yeah.
right.
And this battle was in Smolensk, Russia. It said that most of it had been taken back by the Russians from the Nazis, but there were still like some holdouts, so they were going in to like just get rid of them, like get out. She was the first tank to outmaneuver the Germans and breach their enemy lines. And she and her tank crew destroyed several machine gun nests and several artillery guns. During the fighting, her tank took a hit because, you know, tanks are big. They're big targets. They're easy targets. They also call them like, it was like, I can't remember what the word was, but basically it was just like you're like a sitting duck and your tank becomes your coffin because they are so big and they are such easy targets. After her tank took a hit, she was told to stay in the tank, but she was like, fuck this, I'm not gonna do it. So she got out and she started to repair her tank. And she repaired it, did the repairs on the tank, got back inside, and got back to fighting. Because she's that big of a
She's
badass.
like, I'm on a mission, and that's called revenge.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm gonna take out as many Nazis as I possibly can. Fuck all y'all. I don't care what
I
you
love
say.
it. I love it.
And so all these men saw her disobey these orders, fix the tank, keep on fighting. She broke the line first. I mean, she did all this shit. And so they were like, okay, you're legit. You've got our respect. And more importantly, she was promoted to sergeant
Ooh,
after this,
impressive.
even though she disobeyed, but it was just like she did all kinds of shit in that first battle. And it was like, all right, cool. You earned it. And
Right. It's not a
a month
publicity stunt
later,
anymore. Okay.
she fought in another battle in Novoye Selo in November of 1943. And it was basically repeat. Same thing happened. Tank got hit. She climbed out. She fixed it. Kept on fighting. They took out a bunch of, I mean, again, she was just like bulldozing over all of them. Just like, fuck this, I'm done. She had written a letter to her sister that said something to the effect of, I've been baptized by fire. And she was like, I'm so angry that I can't see straight, kind of thing. Like, she was just so like, nah. Like, you know, she was raging. She was just like, I give zero fucks with this.
I'm here for it. I am
Yeah,
here for it.
I know. Sadly, though, in the Battle of Krynki on January 17th, 1944, it was a night attack. She was in her tank destroying resistance trenches, machine gun nests, German self-propelled guns, but the tank took a hit by an anti-tank shell. Again, she got out to repair, but after repairing it before she could get back in the tank, she was hit in the head by some shrapnel and it knocked her out and she lost consciousness. And so then she remained in a coma for the next 2 months before she succumbed to her injuries.
Oh my.
I know. And she passed on March 15th, 1944, but she was buried with honors at the Heroes Remembrance Gardens in Smolensk. And in
Oh.
August, that following August, she was posthumously made a hero of the Soviet Union in recognition of her bravery. And that's like the highest honor. That's like our Medal of Honor.
Wow. Good for her.
Yeah.
I
And but I
mean,
think they still took the tank and they kept fighting. And I think they took it all the way to Berlin.
well, good.
But the fighting
And I hope it
girlfriend
still
tank
said fighting
and
girlfriend on
girlfriend,
it.
I know, right? Yeah. But anyway, that is the story of Maria and her tank, the fighting girlfriend, and how she basically was like, I think she probably knew. She was like, I don't care if I go down fighting. My husband went down fighting. I'm going to go down fighting the
That's
same way.
amazing. That's
So,
true love.
and she petitioned Stalin, like, who just, like, you know. You know, one of the Night Witches like wrote Stalin and is like, man,
I
give
mean,
us a unit.
I kind of want to know who's like opening Stalin's mail and being like, this one. We're
Gonna show
sir,
him this one.
sir, sir, this one. You want to read this one. This is pretty
Right. But anyway,
good.
that is my story on Maria and her tank, the fighting girlfriend.
That's amazing. I love
But
that.
she went from being a serf to taking out all kinds of Nazis and
Yeah.
kicking some major ass, even in a short period of time.
Yeah. Still. I mean, I don't know that I would do that.
Right.
So, but I admire her. That's really cool.
Yeah. She was almost 39 years old when she passed, but I was like, still. Fact that she didn't care how old she was either. She just, you know,
You
like I
know,
said, a lot of these guys were probably a lot younger than her. And oh, and they nicknamed her mother
fair.
because she was so much
Much
older
older.
than them. Yeah.
Fair. I mean, that is actually one of my favorite things about like the end of your 30s and the start of your 40s is you finally reach that time in your life where you're like, I don't care. I don't give a fuck anymore if you like me. I don't care what you think I'm supposed to be. I'm just gonna.
Right.
Like, I know who I am. I'm going to do my own shit. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Yes. But I don't know. I was just Googling like badass women in history and there was these lists
Yeah.
that came up and she was, and I'm like, what is this? I have never heard of this. And I'm like, I'm gonna talk about that.
That's amazing. I love it. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right, Claire. That was amazing,
Thank
and
you.
hilarious because I guess our brain waves were on the same thing because I also chose something that happens in World War II and is also revenge focused. So that's kind of
Yes.
hilarious.
We don't plan this, guys, I swear.
We don't. I mean, we text each other memes and TikToks through the week. That's really about
Yeah.
it. I'm always just like, clear this TikTok, clear this TikTok.
I know, right? It's just like that's about it.
But the story, I looked up no pronunciations because I either had a
None.
migraine or I've had allergies. So I've just sucked all week, just letting you know.
Yeah.
So my story I am bringing you is the Nakam, the Jewish Avengers.
Ooh. I've never heard of this.
Neither
Jewish
had I. The
Avengers. I
Jewish
love this.
Avengers.
I'm here for it.
So I got my information from Wikipedia, the Associated Press news site, and Slate. So it's May 1945, not long after Claire's story has ended.
Right.
And World War II has ended. It is the end of the Holocaust and the mass genocide of European Jews among other victims that Hitler deemed unworthy of life. So, I mean, yes, we do know the vast majority of people who were horrendously murdered were European Jews. And the world as a whole is still in crazy amounts of shock because, like, it was unimaginable that something like this could happen on this kind of scale. And it just, no one really quite knew what to do. It's just like, what the fuck is this? And
It is. It's almost,
so.
it's like after you go through like some kind of like traumatizing experience, you just kind of have this period of like you sit there for a minute and
I don't.
you're like, did that just happen?
Is this real?
Yeah, is this real life right now?
It's like, you have war and you have, there's always some atrocities, but then when you're like, oh, you were just like murdering people, like just intentionally rounding them up to murder them. That was, like, the world can't process. We're all just completely dumbfounded, like, what the fuck happened? The Nuremberg trials were starting, and in those, they were prosecuting some of the top Nazis. But, during all of that, the Jewish peoples really didn't have like a formal representative. This is just like the winning powers of the war, dealing with the top brass of the losing powers of the war. Yeah, there were horrible war crimes, and this is awful, but the Jewish people weren't really part of that conversation. And so, we're looking at people who had lost their entire families, their communities, and they can't really imagine what life is going to be like. They can't imagine trying to find normalcy again because, like,
I
everything.
feel like even in America, though, there was still like hidden like and
Yes.
anti-Semitism.
Well, and
You
like,
know, it was
and we didn't
still,
really, we didn't. One of the
it
good
was
things
more,
about
it wasn't,
being
it
here
was
is
more,
that, like, we knew about it, we thought it was bad, but like, these people, they're in war-torn country. Like, most of the places that they lived have been destroyed by bombing, and, so people have died, but then people have also been horrendously murdered. Like, it's just, it's unimaginable trying to pick up pieces and start going forward. And so many wanted revenge on the Nazis for the horror that they had brought. Like, they had destroyed everything.
Fair.
Their family, their faith, their community, it's all gone. And not only really on the Nazi leadership, but also on the German people at large for allowing this to happen.
I mean, also fair.
Right. So this is where we enter the Nachum. I'm sure it's Hebrew and it sounds like that, but I don't have a clue. Nachum.
Yes.
I did not take Hebrew. I took Greek. I'm sorry. I cannot help. And it is a group of 50 Holocaust survivors who create a paramilitary group, which they call the Nachum. It's led by Abba Kovner, who is from Lithuania. And randomly, later on in life, after all this has passed, would become one of Israel's most lauded poets. So there's that. Abba Kovner visited the site of the Ponary massacre, in which like 100,000 people were gunned down. Like, not, this isn't a concentration camp. They were taken somewhere and they were all shot and mass buried within like a 3-year period. And again, mostly Jewish people. He also visited the, I'm gonna not say this correctly, the Majdanek concentration camp. Again, horrors. And he talked to some survivors from Auschwitz, and it was those experiences that led him to seek revenge. So he recruited a lot of other people who had the same desire to seek revenge. But he tried to pick people who were able to live undercover and not like have like breakdown, like be able to like infiltrate, kind of a thing. So he wanted people who were able to live undercover, to take other identities, not break down. And primarily they were in their early 20s. And this is the group that was created that they named Nacham, which is Hebrew for revenge.
Okay. So they
They
are the revengers.
that's right. They also used the Hebrew word din, which means judgment, to refer to their group at times, as well as an acronym that stood for Dem Yisrael Noter, which means the blood of Israel avenges.
Okay.
They really took their naming like really.
That's
Like, they were
intense.
like, yeah.
That is intense.
And I'm also like here for it because you're not wrong.
Right.
You get to be really angry. Now, this group of people, the Nakam, they feared that just because Nazi Germany had been defeated did not mean that Jews were safe from another Holocaust level
Right.
of genocide. Because, as you said, anti-Semitism still abounded even after this
Right.
horrific thing had happened. In fact, many Jewish peoples returned to their hometowns only to be murdered by their neighbors. So, like, they survive this horror, go
That's
home to try and
terrible.
start rebuilding, and they get murdered. In Lithuania, in the city of, Lord help me, Eišiškės, it's a Lithuanian city. Five survivors of the Holocaust were killed by anonymous assailants. Their bodies were placed with a handwritten note that read, "This will be the fate of all Jews left alive."
Oh my gosh.
So, on top of these instances happening in like small towns here and there, rumors were swirling throughout Europe that there was still a clandestine German special forces that
Ugh.
was continuing to fight for Nazism even after the war, and they called themselves the Werewolf Unit. So, like, ugh.
Oh God.
So, like, things still
Right.
aren't good. It's bad. It's scary.
Yeah.
And again, there's these peoples that this horror's happened, and they're angry because 6 million Jews were murdered at the hands of the Germans. And so they wanted revenge. So Nakam thought, you know, they need to kill 6 million Germans as revenge. A
Oh my
nation for a
gosh.
nation was kind of their,
Wow.
like, you killed our nation, nation for
Yeah.
nation. And they said they believe that the act should be shocking, that the Germans should know that after Auschwitz, there can be no return to normality. So they were really frustrated with how things were going because there were really no laws that were
Right.
adequate to punish what had happened. I mean, they believed the complete moral bankruptcy of the world could be cured only by catastrophic retribu retri retri retributive. I can't say the word. Catastrophic retributive violence.
Wow.
So, Abba Kovner is the leader. He's the one that's kind of put this group together. He goes to, this is something I'd never heard of. He goes to Mandatory Palestine. Have you ever heard of Mandatory Palestine, Claire?
No, I have not.
Thank you. I had not either. It was not in any of our books. But apparently, Mandatory Palestine was the area that we now know of as Israel and Palestine, because this was before there was Israel. But it, due to weird powers
Right.
that be, it was called Mandatory Palestine. It was the result of World War I or something. I don't know. It was bizarre. Anyway, so he goes to that area and secures large quantities of poison.
Oh, wow.
The goal is to poison the water mains in Germany in order to kill large quantities of Germans. Now, his partners had managed to gain access to the water system of Nuremberg, which is the city that had been a stronghold for the Nazi Party. And one of his people, Joseph Marmatz, posed as a displaced Polish man. And at first, he had a lot of difficulties trying to get in and finding rooms because, you know, a lot of buildings were destroyed. So it's hard to find a place to live.
Right.
So he ended up finally finding places for him and his co-conspirators. and started bribing people so that he could get another co-conspirator, Willich Schweizerreich, placed as an engineer in the municipal water company. So they were ready. So they just needed Abba Kovner to come with poison. So the problem is that Kovner, on his way back, he had like raised some hackles. People had heard things. And so when he arrives in the British occupied area of Germany, he is about to be arrested. They're coming for him. He's on a boat, and so he throws the poison overboard so that he doesn't have it on his person. Now, interestingly, it was just in a bunch of cans and a duffel bag. Just cans of poison. I don't really know why. Also in the duffel bag were toothpaste tubes that were filled with gold to like smuggle them in. I don't know.
Okay.
I was like, what is this? So Kovner did get caught. They ended up detaining him for a few months, and that ended his time as leader of NACOM and being part of it because he was now taken out. So he eventually goes to Israel, as we know, after Israel is founded, and becomes a lauded poet. So congratulations to him. But not to be deterred, the NACOM cell go to plan B.
Oh,
Always
so
have to have a backup
they
plan.
had a backup. Okay. I'm here for that.
So they're like, okay, so maybe we shouldn't be targeting all the Germans. The water supply is a little bit difficult. What if we just target the German prisoners of war that are in the American zone? Because everybody has zones at this point.
Right.
So they're like, okay, let's get these very specific assholes. So they managed to acquire large quantities of arsenic locally, so they don't have to worry about, getting it in, sneaking stuff in.
Transporting it and all that, yeah.
And they started infiltrating local bakeries that supplied the prison camps.
Oh, okay.
So Lipke Distel posed as a displaced Polish person that was waiting for a visa in order to go work at an uncle's bakery in Canada. So he's acting like, I'm just waiting so I can get out, go be with my uncle, work in his bakery. And he asks if he can work at this bakery for free just to learn all the things so that he's ready when he gets to Canada.
Yeah.
Free. So they're like, yeah, come on, come work for us for free. We're here for that.
Right.
So he starts hanging out with his coworkers and starts bribing them with cigarettes and alcohol and chocolate, be still my heart, in order to get access to the storerooms. So he and his co-conspirators decide that they want to make sure that their attack only gets the German prisoners without harming any of the American guards or people that are there that are not. It's like, we want the
Right.
Germans, we don't want to hurt the Americans. Which, thank you. I mean,
I mean, fair, yeah.
thanks. That's very kind. And they learned that on Sundays, the German prisoners ate black bread, and the Americans were specially issued white bread because that's us.
Right.
So they're like, Sunday is the day we want to focus on. So their goal was to poison 14,000 loaves of bread. And to do this, they made a mixture of arsenic, glue, and some other additives, water, etc., so
Yeah.
they could paint a paste onto the bread. And so they focused on Langwasser internment camp, which again, near Nuremberg, that had 12,000 to 15,000 prisoners that were mainly SS officers and other prominent Nazis. So, like,
Okay.
the super baddies.
Yeah. Like they were like upper. They weren't
Right.
just like your
Unfortunately,
lackeys.
it took a longer time to paint the poison on the loaves of bread than they expected. So they only managed to poison about 3,000 loaves of bread before their time ran out.
Could they not
And
just put the arsenic in?
they
Or
didn't
would
bake it
bake.
in the bread. The bread was already baked. So they're like putting a
Okay, but
paste
I'm
on
just
the
saying, could
outside.
you though? Or would the baking it like cook it out?
I mean, no, arsenic, I think, stays arsenic no matter what you do to
I
it.
mean,
But
I'm just, I don't know. I don't know
maybe
if
you
it's like
could re.
alcohol. You
They might
know,
not
like
have
alcohol cooks out, you know?
gained access, or there would have been too many people around, or
Maybe.
chances of someone eating it. I don't know.
Oh, like somebody just taking a bite
Yeah.
and I don't know.
I don't either. It didn't go into great details
Detail
of what
on that.
I
Okay.
watched. But so they managed to only poison about 3,000 loaves, and over 2,000 Germans were poisoned and were very sick, but none of them died.
Ah.
Now, the assumption is that perhaps the poison was spread too thinly, but they
Right.
were able to do some lab tests on some of the bread that had not been given out that had poison on it that looked like it had 0.2 grams worth of arsenic on each loaf, which would fall into a range that should kill you. So they're not really sure why it didn't. They think perhaps the prisoners could tell that something was wrong with the bread because it was painted on the outside. So surely it would make it have a different flavor. So maybe they weren't
Right.
eating enough of it to die. So after this attempt failed, they did try to poison bread at another prison camp, but were discovered before they even got to that point, and they all fled. Most of them eventually went to what is now Israel.
Okay.
Now, it was interesting, most of them never had any remorse at all for their attempts and were mostly sad that it just didn't succeed.
I mean, that's also fair. I just, I mean, I get it. I get it.
I mean, I just,
I
but
don't
like,
blame them.
so one of the there's an academic historian who studied the group. Her name was Dinah Porat, and she wrote a book relatively recently. I think it came out in 2019, in which she interviewed some of them that were still alive. And like, even this many years later, they showed no remorse and said that the Germans deserved it, and they wanted recognition and not forgiveness for their actions. Like, they want people to know that this is what it was. They still believe that Nakam's actions were moral and that the Jews had the right to revenge against the Germans. So I'm
I
like,
mean,
damn.
fair. I mean, I get it though. I get it.
I do too. So,
I don't blame him at all. Like,
no. And in
I'm
fact,
not sitting here like,
like, I'm here going like, I'm glad you didn't poison the water, 'cause like,
Probably a lot of innocent people would
yeah.
have died.
Well,
Yeah.
'cause women and children don't get a voice, so maybe don't
Right.
murder them. But I mean, I'm fine with you wanting to kill all the super bad, awful people. I get it. Like,
Right. Right.
my very grudge laden, vengeful spirit itself
It's like,
is
yes.
like, yeah, no, yeah. So Dinah Porat did study the group and was able to meet with many of the survivors and even got to read some of their private documents that they hold on to. And she ends with the hypothesis that the failure of the attack might have been deliberate, that Kovner and the other leaders began to realize that it would have greatly harmed the Jewish people if it had been successful. But I'm also like, but would they have ever known who did it?
Right. Yeah.
She struggled to reconcile the personalities of the members of NACOM with the actions that they tried to carry out. And one survivor explained, because essentially, how could you can't plan an attack that could kill innocent people? And one survivor said to her, "If you had been there with me at the end of the war, you wouldn't talk that way." And I'm like, there it is. You have no idea what it was like
Right.
to be at the end of the war, and you're finally released from a concentration camp where people are just murdered all the time around you. You're there just to die. And then you come out and everyone you've ever known is dead. Your community is gone. Everything is bombed out. Like,
Yeah.
you don't know that there's no innocence anymore. Like, you're not
Yeah.
really wrong. Ah, boy. Now, I will say, to kind of wrap this all up, that NACOM wasn't the only group to seek revenge. And that there are estimates that if you include the assassinations that Mossad did, which you
Ah,
should, that 1,000 to 1,500 people were killed in retribution of the Holocaust. Those would have been more specific targeted attacks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was some retribution, obviously. I imagine this group feels not enough. And,
No.
like, I'm kind of in the same place because I feel like even today, we still allow people to exist in these horrific groups of hatred. And it's like, no, you can't do that. You don't get to just hate people because they're different. It's really irritating.
Right.
But that is my story of the Nakam, the Jewish Avengers.
Nice. Excellent, excellent.
Thank
I'm here
you.
for it. I am here for it.
And again, it's something I'd never heard of, never knew. Makes perfect sense to me that people would want,
I mean, seriously, I'm kind of sad the
revenge.
bread thing didn't work out,
I mean, and I'm trying to hold on to the fact that at least like some of them got really, really sick, some suffering kind of a thing, but
Right.
good grief.
I'm thinking, though, if you use glue in this mixture, that would probably make the bread taste like meh.
Well, I mean, obviously, they did not focus group it. You got to focus group these things, guys. Because instead, it should have been like a arsenic powdered sugar, like sprinkle on top, kind of a thing. Get that sweetness. Turn like a sweet. Put the sugar in the glaze so it's sweet, so you'll eat it.
Yep.
But there you have it.
But do they give prisoners sweet stuff?
It's Sunday. You can pretend like it's a special treat.
There you go. Like, oh, look what the bakery brought you today, guys. They brought
Like happy Sunday.
you some cinnabons. Cinnamon buns.
Yummy.
I
I literally had a chocolate croissant for breakfast today, so now I'm kind of
Nice.
like, don't think anyone is out for revenge against me currently. I think I'm probably okay.
Well, still, that was a good story. I had never heard of these people, so.
Never, never. And I'm like, I feel like we should have, it's history. You can't cover everything, but like, a couple of
Right.
paragraphs that there were groups out there that were angry and vengeful and
Right.
rightfully so. I mean, I'm pretty sure that is the kind of something that would trigger me to become crazy vengeful and create an insane plot to murder a bunch of people, as if everyone I had known and loved was horrendously
Right.
murdered by,
Absolutely.
assholes. And
Right.
I get it. I get
Listen. Well, that was such a good story. Thank you. We both had
it.
things neither one of us has heard of, so
That's right. And
yay.
again, we picked the exact same period of time. It's bananas.
It
Literally,
is
it's World
bananas.
War II. Here we are.
There's so much junk in World War II. It's like,
Well, and
holy crap.
I wanted to do, but I just wasn't feeling up to the research. I wanted to do like the Monuments Men story, 'cause like the movie is
Yeah.
great, but there's so much
So
more
much
to
more to
it,
it.
and it's so fascinating, and I love that kind of stuff. But then I stumbled across this and went, damn.
Right. You're like, wait, what?
I mean, like, never. I watch History Channel. Well, back in the old days when History Channel was actually the History Channel, I used to watch it all
Right.
the time. Like, I'm. Anyway.
Because it's not really that anymore. It's something
No, it's
weird.
Pawn Stars and Storage Wars
I
and.
know, like, what happened? Like, come on,
Like, I
guys.
don't mind a one-off of like a random episode of either of those because there's
Right.
fun little random. But like, I don't want to watch more than one 20-minute episode.
Right. Exactly. Anyway. Well, I really like history because it's so broad. You can just like do whatever. It's like, what
And we
else?
seem to find these weird. I make an effort to find something I've not heard on any other podcast. Like,
That's,
I try to
yeah,
find
try
something that
to.
I've never heard anywhere else. Not that someone hasn't done it. Obviously, I've not heard all of the things.
Right.
But, it's cool.
Something that's like not like, oh, this is well known. Let's do this. Let's do this one thing that's ad nauseum, you know? So, definitely.
All right, it's time for this week's sweary affirmation.
Yay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Don't be available for shit that doesn't serve you.
I
That's right.
mean,
Cut that shit out
right.
of your life.
Ain't nobody got time for
Ain't
that.
nobody got time for that. All right. It must be time for tarot time with April. My spooky, spooky. Ooh. Behold the slowly changing color orb. I don't think I know any Jewish revenge songs either, sorry.
No. Mm-mm.
Hava Nagila, I think, is the sum total of my,
You're Jewish.
which is sad. Like, you know, in choir we sing all sorts of Latin
Right, yeah.
songs or whatever, but I don't remember learning anything Hebrew off the top of my head anyway. No, we didn't.
Only thing that I ever sang in Hebrew was when we did we sang that stupid song from Prince of Egypt.
Right.
And
And
but
it
we
has
sang the one that was from the movie that had the Hebrew in it,
Hebrew
and
in
we
it.
had, yeah.
All
Stop.
right.
Oh, There Can Be Miracles, that one. Yeah,
Yes.
that song from Prince of Egypt.
All right, great. This week we start with the Empress.
Oh.
Then we move on to the Six of Cups. And we end it with the King of Coins. Well.
Ooh.
Well. Man, I am having a grand old time, by the way. Wait. I still sound infinitely better than I thought it would. I thought I was going to be like. All
You're gonna be like, ugh.
right. The Empress. The Empress is comfortable, and so in readings is comforting.
Ah.
Let's see. I'm not going to describe the card because it's a different card. There is a lot of love to give here. It can be sexual or sensual, but it can also be the love of a parent for their child or the love of a farmer for their field. This is a love that encourages growth. She can refer to pregnancy,
No thanks.
delight, desire, sexuality, fertility, and sensuality. The lady is warm, enveloping love. And it can refer to pregnancy when it comes up in the reading, so be careful if you're not looking to expand your family. It also stands for fertility with finances or art. Everything you touch grows. That's nice.
I'm here for that kind of fertility,
I am
not
too.
the other
No
kind.
children. I am constantly amazed and grateful that people want children, and that's at least most of those people are good at taking care of children and loving them correctly and all of that. Like,
Right.
I'm super here for all of that. Because I'm don't want to. So I just don't want to. That's what it is. I just don't want to. Happy other
Nope.
people do. All right. The Six of Cups. So we're gonna grow in our financial fertility. How about
Hope
that?
so.
Full of love. And maybe some good sex. Not really sure. I mean, why not? Why not? All right. And then the Six of Cups is. Da, 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 da. Oh my goodness. This is a lot of. Okay. Silliness, joy, radiating happiness, and nostalgia live here. I'm here for that. Drinking out of the garden hose, leaving out cookies and milk, lifting your feet when you drive over the railroad tracks. All of those things are a defense against the seemingly unending barrage of things that might bruise your soul. It's about embracing the joy of being a child, even at 30, even as a 38-year-old. Well, okay. Or a 68-year-old. It's about holding tight to magic because that is the counterbalance to all the other things that are so terribly serious and heavy. So it's about magic and joy and embracing it. I'm here for that.
Oh yeah,
I love
absolutely.
that. I need
Yeah.
that. I want all that. So, getting our fertility of finance and then enjoying life and radiating silliness and joy and happiness and nostalgia. Okay, that's fine. And then oh no, it's not right. The King of Pentacles.
I thought you said, was it Pentacles? I thought you said Cups. I'm sorry.
It's King of Coins, but Coins is Pentacles.
Oh, okay, coins. I thought you said King of Cups for a minute. Okay, sorry.
And this king is a bit conservative. He's grounded, centered, and unquestionably in charge. He doesn't need to shout or wave his arms to get attention. He pretty much just has to enter a room because he has an intense presence. He has a very strong work ethic and is very easy to respect. He's strong and quiet and hard to forget. So, cool. I'm here for that. Fine. All right. So we're getting all of our money. We're having grand, joyous time, but we're very grounded and gain respect while we're doing it, right? It
Does not sound like a bad week.
does not. I'm kind of here for it. All right. So, what does next week have in store for us, Claire? What does the will of fate dictate that we shall speak of next week?
I don't know.
It's gonna be something.
Oh, God.
Video games.
Brandon gets 2 weeks in a row.
Video games. He has to listen to this episode. Do you understand? The video game episode.
I don't even know if I want to tell him that we landed on this because he'll be like, ah.
Well, you tell him after we have recorded it so that you can be like, this is what I did. So there. All right.
Video games.
So apparently video games it is. Thank you, Brandy Poo. That should be fun. Hopefully Spencer's friend John is still here, so I can go down and ask both of them, hey. Other
Be
than the fact
interesting.
that they made the only random video game knowledge I have is that they made a game of E.T. and it was so bad, so terrible. It was such absolute garbage that they ended up dumping them all in a landfill and burying them. It was such a terrible game. And I'm like,
Nice.
so, all right.
Hey.
Well, join us
Well.
next week as Claire and I try and figure out how to talk about video games as people who have only ever won Guitar Hero and Lego Harry Potter. So that, in fact, hilariously, we watch a guy on Twitch who does. There's like these big competitions. And he's preparing for one called the NES Big 20, and it's certain parts of 20 different NES games that he has to play, and it's like whoever gets the best time doing them all on a certain day is the winner. And
Gotcha.
so one of the games is Super Mario 2, and it's to play it through completion, any percent, like you can use warps or whatever you can get in those things. And I'd never, ever, ever seen this video game in my entire life. And I'm like, the fuck is this? Wait, what's that? What? I'd never seen Super Mario 2.
I don't think two is one of the popular ones. It's always the first one and then the third one, or like the
It's
big
like,
two, like yeah.
that's what we had. We had the first one and the third one. It's the only one I remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, join us next week. It'll be fun.
Will it?
You can talk about how Claire and I defeated Voldemort much faster than Harry Potter and his little minions did, but whatever.
Right. It took us
Honestly,
7 years.
it did not. It might have taken us
And
three.
we didn't have to, but and that was when we were just doing it when I would come visit you.
It's fair. It's fair.
And we didn't even live in the same city. So, and also we didn't have to run around in the forest for months either.
Yeah. Fair. It did not involve any camping, so that's fine.
No, it did not.
But join us next time as we discuss video games and bring you some fun stories somehow connected to video games. Yay! But until then, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe. Of course, you can watch us on YouTube or you can download us from your favorite podcast provider. And if you would like to send us some new topics for our wheel or any story ideas, you can send those to us at.
Brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.
Also, revenge. Plan all your revenge.
Yes.